Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com in a conversation that is being recorded on the 13th of January, 2017. And today we are talking once again to John Whitehead, a previous guest on the Corbett Report. He is an attorney and an author of such books as Battlefield America, The War on the American People, and A Government of Wolves, The Emerging American Police State. He's also the founder of the Rutherford Institute, dedicated to the defense of civil liberties and human rights at Rutherford.org, where he maintains a regular blog. John Whitehead, it is a pleasure to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, John, I wanted to talk to you today about one of your most recent columns entitled "We All Lose, Obama's Legacy and What It Means for a Trump Presidency," in which you say, after 8 years in office, Barack Obama leaves our nation with a weakened constitution that has been dealt one crippling blow after another by court rulings and government overreach, with more militarized police empowered to shoot first and ask questions later, with more SWAT team raids, with more government corruption, with more debt than ever before, $19 trillion and rising, with more racial tensions bubbling over into confrontation, with even greater surveillance intruding into the privacy of the citizenry, with less tolerance for free speech and thought, with taxpayers groaning under the weight of even more taxes disguised as fines and fees, with a more imperial president empowered to act unilaterally through the use of signing statements and executive orders, with a greater risk of blowback from military occupations, drone strikes, and endless wars abroad, and with a citizenry more broken and oppressed than ever. Now, John, don't hold back. Tell us what you really feel about Obama here. Obviously, quite a damning indictment, and it's difficult to know even where to begin when we look at the disaster of the last 8 years. Not that the preceding 8 years before that or the years before that were any better, per se, but Obama came with such a sheen of political messiah, savior about him, that it is still, from our perspective in 2016, it might be difficult to remember the tidal wave of support that he received coming into office. For the non-Americans in the crowd, like myself and people in the audience, tell us about the feeling of the American public generally in 2008 when he was brought into power and the expectations that that we had for the Obama presidency.
Well, I'd come out of the Bush era where he had signed the law, the U.S. Patriot Act, Bush, which allowed the government to listen on your phone calls, download your emails, come in your home while you're not there and snoop in your home and leave and all kinds of egregious things, which I opposed vocally. So when Obama came around, I thought, wow, this can be a new era. I mean, and he actually talked about limiting government power and stopping war and all those things. So I said, hey, maybe this is the chance we need. He got the Nobel Peace Prize, but he was the first president, actually, to conduct 8 years of war, believe it or not. Last year alone, he dropped 26,000 bombs in the Middle East. Now, this is a guy that early on, some of the, and again, it depends on the early analysts from the left wings who dealt with what they call the military-industrial complex were saying, hey, he's working with the military-industrial complex, we're really surprised. So what I would say is a lot of times with candidates, you have to wait and see what they do before you heap all this praise on them because it builds an expectation, and then people buy into a myth. I mean, people are still talking about greatest president ever, but when I look at his record, he actually signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act in this country, which allows if the president labels you an extremist, he can send the military to your door, your home, take you to a detention camp. You'll never see your lawyer or family. He can disappear. And believe it or not, he under the most recent act that he's National Defense Authorization Act that he re-upped, he added an anti-propaganda center now. They're going to be watching what we say, what we do if we're so-called going against the interests of America. Well, anybody out there is a peace activist that's against war and stuff like that is going to be watched even closer now. And he just, his Justice Department, just a few days ago, under Obama, signed a provision allowing the NSA now to share all our information with 16 federal agencies. That's amazing. Remember, it was Edward Snowden. It wasn't Bush that he was opposing, NSA, Bush's NSA. It was Obama's NSA. So if you add up at the end of the day all the things that we see happening, the militarized police grew exponentially under Obama. All this military equipment flowing to local police in this country, tanks. The Dakota Pipeline incident was a good warm-up to what we're going to face if you get out there and you're active, and if you're peaceful, you're going to be facing tanks, the military, working with the local police, with military weapons. So this all happened under Obama. It all built up under Obama. But I'll say this, Bush started the ball rolling. Obama pushed it faster and bigger, and now we got Donald Trump. I mean, he hasn't stepped into the presidency yet, but do I think he's going to pull back on this power that he has now? Obama sending troops into Poland as the final act of his presidency without congressional approval. That violates the Constitution. So what we're facing is, in my opinion, and I've said it over and over, we're facing a government that's out of control. And it started under Obama. If we really believe in freedom, it's time to step up and act now, America, I'm telling you. And don't forget this. Obama in the White House had his Kill Tuesdays, where he decided who to kill next with the drone in the Middle East. And the figures by The Guardian and The Intercept give us over 1,000 innocent people have died because of that. And I don't know, to be honest with you, I'm a human being, believe it or not, and I would have trouble sleeping at night if I killed one innocent person. So how do these people sleep at night? And some people will tell me, I've talked to government officials, well, maybe they don't sleep well at night. But I'm not so sure. I think you can come in and you get all this glow and praise, and you start thinking you're something you're not. Well, I always tell people, if you think you're better than other people, even if you're the president or a king, you're full of crap. You're not. We're all the same, folks. Let's work together to protect our human dignity, bring peace to the world, and treat our fellow human beings decently.
Well, who could disagree with that? And yet, there are so many people who still will defend Obama simply because he is not, he does not have an R after his name. And we see that strange kind of brainwashing that works so effectively in the left-right political paradigm.
Politics will distort how you think if you're left or right. Look at the Constitution and look at the Bill of Rights. That's the key thing. Freedom is not a political thing. Freedom is for everybody, whether you're black, white, free, game, whatever it is, doesn't matter. And you know, and that's what the philosophy should be. It's not left or right. And we don't know what Trump's going to do. I'm nervous because, and I'll say why, because Bush started the ball rolling in the wrong direction. Obama pushed it faster, and now we got Donald Trump. All I would say is civil libertarians, get ready for a fight.
Well, let's let's not pretend that it's only started under Bush. I think certainly it kicked into high gear under Bush. But
I saw the Patriot Act. That was the first time I saw a president do something I thought was so egregious. I thought allowing the FBI to come into your home and all these things and not even tell you completely eviscerates our Fourth Amendment, which says you have to have a warrant to do those things. And all the surveillance devices that the Obama administration handed out to local police. You know, most people in this country don't realize the police have stingray devices in their cars now. They act as simulated fake cell phone towers. They drive in front of your house and download all your information and drive off without telling you. It's a search and seizure. It violates the Constitution. We're allowing it. But all that picked up really fast under Obama, unfortunately.
And who came up with important parts of the Patriot Act? In fact, brags about being part of the forerunner to the Patriot Act in the criminal omnibus that the Clinton administration tried to pass after OKC was Joe Biden. So it just all circles around the same toilet bowl in Washington, D.C., unfortunately.
I agree. We need to flush it.
Yes. Well, or drain the swamp, as we were promised by Trump, right?
I don't see Trump draining the swamp yet. We'll see.
We'll see. Well, as you pointed out there, you pointed out so many of the different aspects of the failed Obama presidency, failing on that hope and change which was promised. So it's difficult to hone in on all of them. Let's hone in on one specific issue. Candidate Obama and Senator Obama was vociferously opposed to the NSA spying and the illegal wiretapping, and he was going to investigate and was going to hold the companies that participated in that responsible. But suddenly, when becoming president, was happy to sign immunity for those same telecom companies that were, of course, in bed with the NSA. No one was ever put in any sort of legal jeopardy over that, except for the few people at Quest and other places that tried to stand up against what was going on. Tell us about your take on that type of switch from candidate mode to president mode.
Well, I've worked and sued. I mean, I sued Clinton, President Clinton. I've sued a lot of politicians. I've worked with people. I've taken depositions of federal officials. What I've been told by people inside the government, this is former NSA agents, by the way, telling me that it's everything is run by money. There was that 2014 Princeton study that showed that they did the study of 20 years of laws and regulations passed in Washington, D.C. The professors came to the conclusion we live in a country run by a moneyed elite. They called it an oligarchy. And money does run things in Washington, D.C. Our so-called Congress does nothing, very seldom, to challenge the president on using extraordinary powers, executive orders, like sending troops into Poland, those kind of things we're seeing. So in my opinion, we're not really represented anymore. So how I'm telling people, you can affect change, but it has to be at the local level in this country. Go and get into your city halls, and the 10th Amendment and other provisions of our Bill of Rights allows the state or a county or whatever to nullify an act by Congress. You know, just we're not going to follow it. We're not going to allow, by the way, our local police in our little 2,000 populated town to have tanks and assault rifles and to do egregious SWAT team raids without a warrant. You can do that. But I don't think we're truly represented, no, not in Washington, D.C. anymore. It's over half of the people in Congress are millionaires. How are they going to identify with the people I defend at the Rutherford Institute who can't even afford a lawyer? They don't. They can't identify with those people.
No. Well, if there's anything to look forward to, I suppose, in the Trump era, it's that suddenly there will be an anti-war left again and people concerned about government corruption who have been asleep for the last 8 years. So let's make common cause with those people who are concerned about the Trump presidency, as you are, as I am, as everyone should be about someone who's taking that position of power. And let's reemphasize those types of local actions that people can commit to hold their elected officials accountable.
Politics. They've turned politics into religion. People get so into it. Get away from that. Get back to the old idea that let's work together for the common good. And the common good is maximum freedom.
Absolutely. On that note of maximum freedom, it was in your column that I read for the first time. I didn't see it in the Newswire about the death of Nat Hentoff, who I know primarily as a jazz critic, but I know was also a vociferous defender of First Amendment rights and free speech, civil liberties, and was apparently a mentor of yours. Tell us about your relationship with Mr. Hentoff.
Yeah, I met Nat in the late 1980s. We became a friendship. He started writing about me. He defended me sometimes when I was attacked by government officials. He wrote a column for the Washington Post actually defending me, saying, get off of John Whitehead's back. This man believes in freedom. And I saw him a few days before he died. I was by his deathbed. He was a great man. What I loved about Nat was he called it like it was. If he didn't agree with me, he'd call me and say, John, I don't agree with what you're saying. Sounds stupid. And we'd argue a bit. But next day we'd be, you know, we're back on keel. We were good friends, and he believed in free speech was his goal. He hated hate speech laws and all those things. He greatly influenced me, by the way. He kept pushing me, John, get out here. And once I started being more vocal, he actually quoted and said I was the Thomas Paine of this generation, which I called him and said, what are you saying about me, man? He says, you're a rebel. I like rebels. I said, you're a rebel. You're a rebel maker. And, you know, he would call it like he saw it, and he offended a lot of people. But like I always say, free speech offends. So getting to see him right before he died and talk to him, and believe it or not, on his deathbed, you know what he talked to me about? Free speech. We were sitting around going, Nat, you're 91 years old, dude. And he goes, oh, he said, well, you keep fighting, John. You keep going. And I said, we will, man. And that's the last thing he said to me.
That's beautiful. Well, the light of liberty will not be extinguished. And it's good to celebrate those voices that have been there to keep that flame going in the past. So I'm glad that you did end your column with a relevant quotation from Mr. Hentoff. I will, of course, direct people to the column itself. I'll put the link in the show notes so people can go and check it out. Let's also direct people not only to Rutherford.org, but to your writings, including Battlefield America. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, Battlefield America, the War on the American People. I go into all these issues we're talking about, militarized police, NSA, and offer some solutions, more detail, what people can do. I go through it and just I want people to get educated. When I say education precedes action, get educated on issues, watch shows like yours, sir, know what's going on, don't trust so-called mainstream media all the time. I'm not going into the fake news thing, but there are a lot of independent sources like you out there that we need to be listening to, and let's get active and start pushing the ball of freedom down the road, folks.
Well, John Whitehead, I appreciate the work that you're doing, and I know that you will continue to do it, no matter if there's a Republican or a Democrat in office or anyone else, and that's what I'm looking for. So thank you for the work that you do, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, sir.